You'll have to put that mic facing more towards you. I see you have your own little way of putting it sideways, but it's better for... No, Brian turned it down. He saw what you were doing there. But we're very happy to have with us in the studio the entomologists, and I don't use that term very often, like Steve Courtney, at Rose. And Mark D. Shepherdegian, Vice President, Technical Services, Rose Pest Solutions, is here. And Mark's been coming the longest.
Actually, thank you, Paul W. Call me Shep. Mark's tall, the tall guy. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't confuse me here. All right. Shep is what I'll call you. The other Mark. Don't confuse everybody. I'll get through this and I'll announce who they are. The other Mark is substantially younger than the rest of us in the studio. That is Mark Vanderwerp, Manager of Education and Training for Rose Pest Solutions. We'll call him Mark, and we'll call Shep Shep, based on Shep's request just now. Does that make you feel better?
Oh, yeah. We're clear as mud.
You can tell he's been coming here for years. He's gotten a little bit harder to deal with. But anyway, we invite our people to call and ask questions. And we say it now because the phones light up and everyone wants to talk when there's no time left in the show. Now, these guys have been kind enough to stick around. Can you stick around again if people are on the line? A little bit?
I imagine we can.
Okay.
We're generous.
Yes, you are. 800-859-0957. 800-859-0WJR. The number to call if you have any questions whatsoever that these guys, these are the pros from Rose I'm always talking about. They're here. They're in the studio. They're ready, willing, and able to take any question you have about any pests you have. I'm going to add to that, because I've seen it in our commercials, that you're really spending a lot of time, too, in the commercial end of the pest solution business. And there's nothing worse than going to a restaurant, a venue of any kind, and having it being overrun by pests. So you want to prevent that at all costs, and you guys can do that.
Absolutely. We service all manner of commercial accounts, from the big industrial to the small mom-and-pop shops.
Well, what we're dealing with here today is whatever anyone wants to talk about. We want your calls here at 800-859-0957, 800-859-0WJR. And we thank the family, the Ives family, and the president, Jim Ives, for doing such a great job. You guys, this company is 160 years old. You would not be here if you hadn't been doing things right. Nobody survives. I mean, they don't. There are many, many companies that never get it to 100 years, let alone 160. So you've been doing things right. You ready to talk to some people?
You know it. Yeah. Let's do it.
All right. Again, Mark Vanderwerp, entomologist, and Shep, don't call me Mark, Shepherdegian, Vice President, Technical Services here on the Paul W. Smith Show, here to serve you at 800-859-0957, 800-859-0WJR, as we go to Tom in Farmington Hills. Welcome into the Paul W. Smith Show. Tom.
Paul, thank you for the time. Guys, every year I get an annual visit from carpenter ants, and I use a local orange fluid that I put on the floor, and after a month they do go away. How can I find the where the nest is? I get them. They're in the basement. They're upstairs. They're in the kitchen light, and they're in a bedroom. They're not even upstairs. How do I find where the nest is?
Sure. So, you're right in wanting to find the nest. First off, let me just point that out. So, anytime you're dealing with an ant problem, they're a social insect, and so there's a queen, or in some cases, some species, lots of queens laying eggs. In some cases, lots of eggs. And so ultimately solving the issue gets back to kind of destroying that colony unit, the queen. And so finding the nest is a great thing to do. With carpenter ants, it often is quite tricky. They like to nest in wood, and often water-damaged wood. So frequently they are found in inside wall voids where maybe there's been a water issue in the past, in bathrooms, in attics. And so not the easiest places to get to. Sometimes you don't find a nest until you do a reno project. Another thing to point out is if you're seeing these things on an annual basis, they in fact are there year-round. There's just certain times of the year where they do more obvious foraging, where you're more prone to notice them. Once things warm up, substantially. They probably do most of the foraging outside, and then it seems like they go away. But in fact, they're probably there year-round. So one thing you can try to do to follow the ants back is put out a food source. It doesn't have to be a toxicant, although you can put out an ant bait that will kill them as well. And then try to follow them back and see where they go. And like I say, with carpenter ants, a lot of times they will just disappear into an area that you may not have access to. And that may be the best answer you can get, that they're in this wall somewhere. But even if you can't find the colony, you can still treat them using that social behavior against them. So you can put out a bait product or something else that they can actually spread amongst themselves.
And if you're going to do that, just remember, they are actually nocturnal. So as many as you see during the day, there's way more to see at night.
All right. Helpful information, Tommy?
You bet. Okay, all right, guys. Thank you.
Excellent. Steve is in Richmond, and the theme of carpenter continues, but we move from ants to carpenter bees. Hi, Steve.
Hello. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Hi. Yeah, I have a carpenter bee issue, and I'm just not sure how to rid myself of them. They're pesky. They make perfect holes, I'll tell you that. But I have some woodwork around my house, and I continue to get one here and there, but I just can't get rid of them. Is there any solution to that?
Well, actually, they're not that difficult to deal with. You just got to be able to get to the holes where they're at. You'll find that while they may seem a little off-putting, they're not particularly dangerous, and they won't they don't sting you unless you handle them roughly. They're a solitary bee. Well, actually, they're kind of in between, but they just have one hole per queen, and she lays all her eggs in there, so she's not really interested in stinging people, only if she absolutely has to. Now, it doesn't matter. It's very easy to kill them. You just have to have a product that goes in the holes. Do it yourself, and over-the-counter materials work really well. You just got to read the label to make sure that that's what they're for, exterior use and stinging insects. If you can't figure out where they're at, look around for the – there's a kind of a stain I'm not sure how to describe it.
A yellow triangle splotch.
Now, there we go. I didn't want to say that, but
that was pretty specific.
That's what it looks like, and that's how you know when the holes are hidden. And you go around every spring and treat those, and you'll be fine. If you want to prevent them, you're better off making sure everything's been freshly painted, or they don't go through paint regularly.
All right, we've got Mark and Shep. The pros from Rose. This is an excellent opportunity for you to call us right now. Get your questions answered. 800-859-0957. 800-859-0957, which works out to be 800-859-0WJR. Back with your calls up next. It's 8:15. We're so lucky to have the pros from Rose in the studio taking your calls. Thank you, President of this wonderful company, 160-year-old Rose Pest Solutions, Jim Ives, in the family for generations now, doing a great job. And these guys have been with him for a long time, too. Mark D., don't call me Mark, Shep Shepherdegian, and Mark Vanderwerp, who is still allowing me to call him Mark, by the way.
For now.
Yeah, for now. And they're taking your calls and questions, whatever they might be, at 1-800, or if you aren't on a cell phone, 800-859-0957, 800-859-0957, or 800-859-0WJR. And before I take this next call, we have a few, and I promise we're going to get to you. Now, Mark, you have brought in a little show-and-tell to school today with a little reminder of something we can do right now to make our summers way better.
Sure. So I understand visual aids are great to bring in for radio.
Perfect for the radio. Yeah.
But what I have is a small jar with water in it and these little creatures that are wiggling back and forth. We call them wigglers. How appropriate.
Yeah, it is appropriate.
These are mosquito larvae, mosquito babies. And right now is kind of when the environment is getting saturated with these little things. And so it's really important, you know, when we've had all that rain in the last couple of weeks, there is standing water out there in your yards, and it is breeding wigglers.
I found some in the lid of my trash can that had fallen off the trash can, plastic, you know, and it was on its back, if you will, filled with water, and I thought of the two of you, and I said, what would the pros from Rose do? I immediately dumped out all that water.
Oh, there you go. That's what it's all about.
Making us proud.
Well, you've taught me well. We've been doing this for years. Okay.
They're much easier to pick on when they're larvae instead of when they have wings and bite you.
Yeah, but don't call them little babies because then
don't
it
say
starts,
babies.
Yeah, that's
they're
like,
not cute.
They're not cute, and they turn into monsters. Do they have to come up out of that water to breathe, or can they breathe in water at this stage of their life?
That's a little bit of a combo. So they can dive for a while, and they can absorb some oxygen from the water. But in general, they sit right at the top, and they have this little thing, this little siphon tube on their hind end, and that's how they draw in their oxygen.
All right, let's get to our callers here. But that's good advice. Drain the water, bird baths, whatever it might be. Now's not a good time to have water on your property because it's going to turn into mosquitoes before you know it. Mike, I think, is next here in Rockwood. Whoops. Oh, is it John or Mike? I can't tell there's what order because they're all green now. Let's go to John. That's fair. He was standing in line. John in Rochester, no-see-ums. Welcome to the Paul W. Smith Show with the pros from Rose, John.
Yes, thank you.
What's you your question? Me? Yeah, let's go.
Well, I've got a case of no-see-ums in my house, and I can't get rid of them. It's been months trying to different things to try to get rid of them. Even the electronic, kind of like zappers. It's not really a zapper, but it's an electronic device that is supposed to catch them. But
how do you get rid of no-see-ums, guys?
They keep coming back. They keep coming back.
Well, I guess the first question is, why do you think it's no-see-ums? Are you seeing anything?
I thought they were no-see-ums.
But you can feel them. You can feel them. You can, they bite you.
So you have
like a
biting sensation.
Like
yeah, so there are insects out there called no-see-ums. They're little voracious gnats that, in fact, do feed on blood. And they're small, but you can see them. So they're a couple of millimeters long. But those typically only attack you when you're outdoors. It's pretty rare to have these things coming inside. It's certainly for an extended period of time. Like, you know, if you have a window open, you can get some inside, but they don't survive, they don't thrive indoors.
Oftentimes those are the ankle biters that you don't see when you're sitting out there and smoking a cigar, and then you come in and you go, wow, what happened to my ankles? Because the no-see-ums attacked.
They can tear you up.
Yeah.
For sure. But when you have something like this that's going on for a period of time, it sounds less and less like no-see-um. So I would consider other possible biting pests, or in some cases, you can have biting sensations and not have a pest at all. So it's really important to find some bugs first before, you know, you can take the proper next steps.
All right, so what's an overall thing you would tell folks if they have little bugs that are bugging them that they want to get rid of?
The first thing you got to do is got to identify the pest. If you can't see the pest or you can't find it, that's really going to confound the process. So the first thing is get insect specimens and get them identified. And the fact that he doesn't see them, that doesn't bode well. So yeah, John, look around. We've seen cases where people have dietary allergies that cause them to get itchy red spots, and they think it's insects. Won't stop looking for insects, so they never get rid of their problem.
Oh wow, that's that doesn't sound good. That's
there
all right.
There are other things that cause that too. So the first thing to do is to figure out what is this.
And you can put out glue boards and other traps. Certainly, if it is a biting fly, they are light attracted. So put a glue board next to a lamp, turn it on all night long, see if anything's stuck to the glue board the next morning.
I pay for Rose. I sign up for that year-long thing, whatever it is. You can pay it by the month or you can pay it all off, whatever. I wouldn't tell people to do this if I didn't do it myself. I do it, and if you have a problem you can't figure out, I would call the pros from Rose at 800-966-ROSE, 800-966-ROSE, or go to rosepestsolutions.com. Mike is in Rockwood. His turn now with an annoying woodpecker. Mike, good morning.
Morning. Paul, I've got a woodpecker. This has happened about 2 to 3 times now that pecks away at the siding, our aluminum siding, to the point where it takes the finishing paint off of it. And the only way you can, we go outside to try to discourage it, but it seems to come back.
What do you do with a persistent pecker?
Well,
right.
Well, the worst part about it is they're federally protected. But
they are?
Oh, yeah.
Woodpeckers are federally protected?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because they're,
most birds are. There's really only a couple of species you can pick on anytime, any place, anywhere.
Wow. Okay. Anyway, what do we do?
So scare them away, and they make. That's really what you got to do. Some people hang pie plates, aluminum disposable pie plates, you know, that you buy, and they twirl. That they're inexpensive. If they're hanging around where the woodpecker is, that generally works. The woodpeckers are just drumming. They're just wanting to make noise. That's why aluminum siding. So
very annoying.
Would you do that? Yeah. Because they like to make
noise. It's not like they need to eat the wood or eat the bugs in the wood, which we thought they were doing. But
there are some other imaginative ways to scare them away. But that's really what you got to do without doing anything illegal.
Wow. All right. Lots of questions. You have them. Think about them. And call for this wonderful free opportunity to speak directly with the pros from Rose. Our number's 800-859-0957, 800-859-0WJR. Mark and Shep are with us. Give us a call. Mark Vanderwerp and Shep, also known as Mark D. Shepherdegian, at least among his family members. These guys are very helpful to us. They come into the studio once or twice a year, and we haven't had them in here because of the pandemic. Now we have them here. It's nice to be with them. These are the guys who taught me a wood joist is not a pulpy tapis bar for gluttonous carpenter ants. Just one of the many things I've learned from them. Let's find out what kind of help Peggy needs in Bloomfield Hills. Peggy, welcome into the Pros from Rose on the Paul W. Smith Show at WJR. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning, Paul and the team at Rose. I just first wanted to make a quick mention. Rose has been helping us out with our wooded area and a condo association. And Paige came out yesterday. She's come a few times to help us resolve our major carpenter ant situation. So I wanted to thank Paige personally here. But
aren't you nice? That's very nice.
Yeah, they've been amazing. We actually had another company come out that we didn't pick because we're in an association, and the problem was not getting solved. So listening to the show and hearing the ads for Rose, we did contact our association and said, please send somebody from Rose. We would really appreciate that. So she did an incredible job with our ants and getting rid of them. But we also have a problem with wolf spiders and the orb weavers. And while we love spiders and they do eat other insects, we're wondering how we can control them a little bit better around our condo.
Good question.
Oh, yeah. Spiders can be tricky. So unlike a lot of pests, and by the way, I should back up and say thank you very much for the big shout out there to Paige. She's wonderful and glad that you noticed the difference when you trusted Rose. Appreciate hearing that. But spiders are tricky because it's each spider for themselves. And so there isn't a single area you can treat and make them go away like there are with a lot of other pests. They're out there just finding other bugs to eat. And so they're these kind of lone wolves in the arthropod world. So one thing you can do with wolf spiders, at least, because they don't build webs. They like to just hide under stuff. And so, minimize the number of things on the ground, which if you're in an association, you may not have that much control over. And the other thing, obviously, is, building them out of places. So they typically enter structures at the ground level. And so a fresh door sweep and that kind of thing can sometimes make a big difference about how many of those you're getting indoors. As far as the orb weavers, totally different animal. Also, lone wolves, right now, they're tiny little things, and they're dispersing and finding places to set up webs. And it's not until the end of the season when they get huge and immense. And, unfortunately, you walk into a web, and it ruins your day. So we're not there yet, but they're growing right now. The thing with those is exterior lighting is the thing to pay attention to. So they typically set up shop near a light source where they get a big supply of bugs. Again, you may not have that much control over that, but some exterior treating around light sources that are going to be on can make a big difference with those.
So wonderful. I really appreciate it.
Well, we really appreciate you, Peggy, taking the time to call and give the compliment and tell us your story. Thanks so much, Peggy. And Paige is, I hope, listening in and happy, too, that she's gotten the kudos. Vera in Farmington Hills. Somebody else was talking about chipmunks. Was it you, Rick Burkhardt, one of our soon-to-be retiring top account executives, said he had chipmunk problems. So, Vera, we're all ears. Here, let's hear your problem.
Well, I have a family of chipmunks that co-inhabit our yard, which is fine with me as long as they stay in the back. But there's a couple that have gotten down into like a retaining wall that has like a nice big tree for cover. It's like a Japanese maple, so I think they like that because it kind of keeps attackers from them. But anyway, the retaining wall is starting to move a little bit, and I can see that, and I'm not sure if it's because of the chipmunks or not. I'd like to know if there's a way to discourage them from being in there. I really don't want to murder them, but, you know.
Wow.
when you put it like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you got to chipmunks can be very destructive. They will move a lot of soil, and a lot of folks have had their driveways crack apart because the chipmunks excavated underneath, and retaining walls can come down after they move all the soil around it. So you really shouldn't let them build up too many chipmunks. Now, their greatest defense is they're cute. They are way too cute, and so you just don't want to do anything of a permanent sort, but that frequently is all you can do. One thing I would say is chipmunks are suckers for peanut butter, and so if you had a live trap that wouldn't kill them, you could use a peanut butter in there, and then you'd have to, I don't know if you're supposed to release those or not.
Is there are they federally protected?
No. Well,
no, but there are rules, Paul.
There are.
You can't just be letting animals go off your property.
There's rules for virtually every animal.
There's rules for lots of things.
What about the rules for human beings that don't follow the rules of human society?
That's just it. When humans encroach upon nature, you call the DNR. But when nature encroaches upon humans, call us.
We hit a hot spot here, didn't we?
There you go.
Yeah, good.
So the
animals were here first. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you don't do something permanent, Vera, they may not go away. And peanut butter is a tremendous attractant for them. I'll just leave it there.
And we don't have time to find out if it's chunky or smooth, so we have to move on. Thank you, Vera. Any peanut butter will do. I'm sorry, that's just a regular conversation we have around here. Chunky or smooth. All right, to Nancy in Clarkston. She has, when it turns red, it's hard to... Tiny ants and mice.
Oh, hello. Yes, my question is about the little tiny ants that build a little bitty nest in your yard, and I just have them all over, and I kind of step on it and spread it around, but they just build it right back. Now, is there something I could use that wouldn't be toxic that I could, you know, some vinegar or whatever it might be that would discourage that.
God bless my audience. They're all pacifists. Nobody wants to kill anything. God bless you.
Okay. Well, so even if you use a home remedy, frequently when you're putting it on them and the activity stops, that is still a toxic material. Ultimately, you are still trying to kill the insects typically when you spray them with something, even if it's vinegar or something like that. But in general, with ants, I mean, there's perfectly good over-the-counter products that work quite well. Another thing to consider, if it is out in the yard, so to speak, in some cases, you know, if they're not really doing any damage, you don't have to treat them. I know the knee-jerk reaction is, ants, kill them, ants, kill them. But typically, you know, we kind of draw the line when they're entering structures, and certain species can absolutely do damage to structures. That's typically where the battle needs to happen. If they're out in the yard, you know, you can make the call. And so maybe this is one of those situations where if you want to give the ants a pass, maybe you do.
All right. Good for you, Nancy. Good luck. Quickly, Mike is here from Onsted. Hello, Mike. Welcome to Paul W. Smith Show, WJR, with the pros from Rose.
Good morning. I have two different parts of my property. And this is a seasonal property, so I can't be here all the time to look at it. I have on the front porch, I get a lot of spiders, which, you know, is distracting. But every year, I get a barn swallow nest. And obviously, I don't want to hurt them. Again, a pacifist about nature. What could I do short-term and then long-term to deter them? And then underneath a deck, I have carpenter bees periodically, which I hit with, you know, over-the-counter products, and it seems to work. but I also then get mourning dove nests, and I don't want to hurt them. So what are some distractionary things I could do?
Good question.
Wow,
distractionary. I like that.
For the swallows, I'm afraid, and we talk about, you know, that they're protected. The swallows are protected. They're
you already made it clear that virtually everything is protected.
That's tough. So, but good thinking. What can we do to deter them? Boy, I don't know how you deter swallows without you could put you would put a netting over it, but that would be that would change the appearance of the place. That can be difficult. You can build out the mourning doves a little easier by taking away their ledges, and there's some imaginative things you can do. Put mounting up there to keep them on. Yeah, but you can't do that with swallows. They just stick their nest all over the place.
We have nest issues, which I take as, you know, Kim and I talk about it. Well, it's nice. They feel safe and comfortable. We have like five nests around our house, on light areas and places like that. The only one that's problematic is the one right over our head at the front door. They used to be very good about not, you know, leaving us any reminders that they're right above our head, but now they just let it fly.
I wouldn't do that, yeah.
some sheet metal strategically stalled at a 45-degree angle can, in some cases, look quite nice and prevent birds from nesting.
Okay, that's a good advice. See, we all get good advice from Mark Vanderwerp and Mark D. Shepherdegian. Call me Shep. The Pros from Rose, one last segment here. Call now to get your questions answered at 800-859-0957, 800-859-0957. We'll get you on right away. That's 800-859-0WJR. Do-do-do-do. Last segment, let's do it. We've got our callers here. We're going to burn through them with the Pros from Rose, Mark Vanderwerp and Mark D. Shepherdegian. Shep is here. If you hear one go down, you can try 800-859-0957, 800-859-0WJR. And the boys, being the boys they are, the great guys from Rose, they're going to stick around as long as they can, taking questions from people who are on the phone. Karen is in Livonia. Karen, welcome to the Paul W. Smith Show.
Oh, yeah. Those babies are expensive.
Who are you? Wait a minute. Somebody's talking to Karen. Give me somebody else. Let's go to Bill in Monroe, my hometown. Bill?
Hey, yes, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. Good.
Well, the issue with chipmunks worked for me, and it also worked for a neighborhood cat who used to come over and really love our flower garden, and the stench was terrible. But what we did is, I heard about it from I don't know where, but it works. Take a bar of Irish Spring soap and add a cheese grater. Just put that. It only works for Irish Spring. I don't know why, but you just grate this stuff around the area. You don't want the pests to come in, and they stay away. It's non-toxic. You haven't killed anything, and all good.
You hear that a lot. Irish Spring, and I don't know how much they've sold to clean people or to repel pests. But I'll tell you something. I have found a cake of Irish Spring in somebody's garden that was heavily chewed by the local rodents. So
they brushed their teeth.
All you got to do is put this stuff out one time, and if the pests go away, we automatically go, see, it worked. I don't know. I don't know if it really works, Bill, but everybody's, it's not expensive.
Yeah, it worked for me. It's cheap, and hey.
Good to know, Bill. Thanks for sharing that from Monroe. Let's try to go to Karen one last time here in Livonia. Karen?
Yes. I have either hornets or wasps. They build that honeycomb nest, kind of papery, and they're building it on the three peaks, you know, underneath the peak there on my condo. And is there anything, I've had somebody remove those nests, but is there anything I can do to keep them from going up there, or is it a lost cause?
Yeah, so that is, you're probably talking about paper wasps here, and they're just kind of getting started. So it should be, if you see a large nest, that's a good sign that it's from actually last season and it's not active anymore. Right now, the nests are only a couple of cells big, and so they're pretty hard to notice. We get a big influx of stinging insect calls come August and September, and that's when the nests finally kind of become obvious, and you can't miss them when you're walking around outside and they start harassing people. But right now, they're pretty fragile little things, but you really want to discourage them. It's tricky to do when you have a high peak because it's an attractive place for them to build. You can put a treatment down early in the season, and that can prevent some nests from being made, but it's not a surefire thing, and if it's a high, tough-to-treat area, that may not work for you.
Karen, good luck to you. Bob in Manchester, flying ants. Bob.
Good morning.
Good morning. You have a question for us.
I do. My daughter came this morning and said she has an infestation of ants with wings. And she's tried vacuuming them up, but they just keep coming and coming. It's on a single slab outbuilding, and they're just coming in by the thousands.
Oh, they'll do that. The ants, she has an infestation of ants. The flying type, this is called a swarm. That's how ants generally reproduce, is once a year they produce reproductives, males and females. It'll fly off and start a new colony somewhere. And boy, when that starts to happen, you really can't dissuade them. You can suck them up with a vacuum all you want, but getting that to stop is extremely difficult. So the best thing to do is to figure out where they're coming from and deal with them there. For most ants that do that, a bait is a great way to work, because the ants will take that back and takes out the entire colony. And don't feel bad; they'll make more. We won't lose all our ants. But that's probably the best thing to do. As far as what do we do with all these flying ants? Hang on, this only lasts a day or two.
And make sure they are ants and not termites.
Oh yeah, then there's that.
Okay, how do you know?
A specialist is probably the best person, but you can find resources online.
That's right.
Yes, that helps.
All right, Larry in Grand Blanc, stink bugs. Larry.
Yes, sir. We live kind of in a rural area with a lot of trees, and we've been infested with stink bugs for a few years, and they seem to come when it warms up, and they hang out around the windows, and I've killed literally thousands of them. What do we do?
Yeah, so
they've got a better answer.
Stink bugs are what we call an overwintering pest, and so they get into the structures in the fall time, and then they wake up about now and head back outside. So they don't do any reproduction inside the structure. They're strictly coming inside to spend the winter in a protected location. So there's only a couple of solutions. You can build them out, which with stink bugs, they're actually big enough you can do that. So you can screen gable vents. You can screen other areas, seal things up with sealants, or you can do a treatment outside to kill them.
Gentlemen, thank you. Good luck to you, Larry and Patrick, and the rest of the folks standing online. Stand by, because they'll take your calls off the air. Otherwise, you need to call the pros from Rose at 800-966-ROSE, 800-966-ROSE, or go to rosepestsolutions.com. We thank the boss, President Jim Ives, for letting Mark Vanderwerp and Mark D. Shepherdegian, call me Shep, not Mark, to come into the studio. Gentlemen, always a pleasure. It's been a pleasure for years. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. It has been.
We appreciate it. As we wrap things up and say, stand by for news. And then, of course, it's WJR All Talk with the one and only Tom Jordan and Kevin Dietz. They're here to inform you and entertain you and just overall have a great show for you, as we do all day long, all night long, all week, weekend long on WJR. Regards, Paul W. Smith.